Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. If you know someone with a serious mental illness, odds are you know someone who may be slipping through the cracks when it comes to standard American healthcare and chronic disease. A recent report in the New York Times indicates those with serious mental illnesses die 15 to 30 years younger than those without. It's a startling statistic with complicated contributing factors. South Dakota healthcare providers are facing the challenge with innovations in screening and treatment. And we're joined in the studios at the University of Sioux Falls by Dan Heineman. He's a vice president and medical officer for Sanford Health Network. Thanks for coming back.
Well, you're welcome. It's nice to be here.
Also with us on the phone, we have psychologist Jeffrey Leichter. He is with Sanford Behavioral Health, and we're reaching him on the phone in Detroit Lakes, Michigan. Jeffrey Leichter, welcome.
Thank you. And I'm actually in Minnesota, Lori.
Minnesota. What did I say?
Michigan.
I have Minnesota written down right in front of me, and I read Michigan instead. So thanks for clearing that up. And Dr. Heineman, let's start with you. And this grant that Sanford Health, give us some background on why this issue matters and your involvement with it.
Well, a number of years ago, Sanford applied for and was given a grant from the Center for Medicaid and Medicare Innovation, the CMMI Center. It was with the federal government's desire to switch our healthcare system to one based on volume to one based on value. Mm. There was a recognition that we needed to do a much better job of connecting behavioral health, and that's not just mental illness, but behavioral health, to the way that we provide care to patients, whether they have a chronic illness like and are living with a chronic illness like diabetes or heart failure, as well as making sure that those patients of ours that have a chronic mental illness behavioral health issue do not fall through the cracks. So we were given a sizable grant. It was about a $12 million grant to look across the Sanford footprint at embedding behavioral health specialists within our primary care practices, as well as with the help of our colleagues in behavioral health like Dr. Leichter, look at how we can do a better job of screening patients for depression, anxiety, substance use disorders, and also identifying those with more serious mental illnesses, because you cannot treat, you cannot address what you don't know. And I'll never forget many of our clinicians when we were bringing forward our screening tools. They said, don't make me identify something that I don't have the resources to deal with.
Right. Yeah.
And many of our practices did not have the resources. And you know, we always talk about the primary care health workforce being in short supply and difficult to recruit to rural areas. It's just as serious an issue around our behavioral health colleagues, both psychology and psychiatry, and having enough of those experts. And so we needed to do a better job of identifying, but also helping our clinicians know where they could send. And we answered that by embedding some provider services right within our primary care practices.
Bring the providers physically together.
Right. Huh.
Jeffrey Leichter, it seems like this is a no-brainer and a wow, that's innovative at the same time in some ways. In your experience, you know, from the other side, to sort of hoping, or there must be times when you wish that those connections were working better from your end, so that you could maybe identify patients sooner.
Yeah, absolutely. I've actually been fortunate enough in my career as a psychologist to have been embedded in a Sanford primary care clinic for really the better part of the last 25 years. But that is very much the exception. Most behavioral health providers up until very recently really did not know the culture and the language and the customs of working in primary care. But ironically, Lori, you know, what we know from national studies is that the majority of people with mental illness actually will never get treatment. And of those who do get treatment, the majority of them will get it exclusively in primary care clinics, not in mental health centers. And so it only makes sense really for us to bring those two workforces together to the place where people go to get all their health care. And primary care has been referred to as the super highway of healthcare, and that includes mental health care. So it just makes sense that we would have collaborative team care with behavioral health and with our medical health professionals working together in the same place.
Laurie, if I could add to what Jeff is saying, so much of the time there's a stigma associated with that diagnosis and the referral then for additional treatment. And many times it's a couple weeks out, it's a different location, and these are already very fragile individuals. And I always tell this story of my own situation. I was picking up one of my colleagues at one of our behavioral health clinics here in Sioux Falls. And we were going to go to another location for a meeting, and he wasn't coming out. And so I decided to walk into the clinic to let him know I was there. And I walk into this behavioral health clinic, and everybody in the reception area looks at me. And I thought, oh, they all think I have a behavioral mental health issue. I understood exactly how they were feeling. And so the ability to embed, like Jeff, in a practice where a patient is comfortable already going is like, I maybe even 90% of the battle in getting them to the care and to the care provider that they need. So always, we've in medicine always expected patients to go where we want them to go.
Right.
This is an example of we are creating kind of a one-stop shop, if you will, for a variety of their needs.
And this seems like it might be particularly effective for children as well. We just got off the phone with a Sanford integrated health specialist, behavioral health specialist. So if your child is used to going to see their, you know, family physician that they like and has a little monkey on his stethoscope, then they're just in a different space in the same building. So for kids particularly, it becomes truly integrated into, you know, services they're receiving.
Yeah, Jeff sees that all the time.
Yeah.
It's a matter of being comfortable. Then once that connection is made, more open to helping the clinician understand what the issues are so that the clinician can help them understand.
Jeff, maybe you could speak to that a little bit, not necessarily with pediatrics, but with that collaboration. Then how do the providers work together with sort of the whole patient care? What does that look like when I leave the office?
Well, that's a great question, and it can take on many forms. Sometimes it is very formal in the sense that you will come in to see your primary care provider, and in the course of your examination, whether you're there for diabetes or high blood pressure or a sprained ankle, we will routinely be doing behavioral health screening to determine if there's any depression, anxiety problems, substance use disorders, or trauma. And that may be identified by the physician or the nurse, and a referral may be made to the co-located behavioral health professional. And you may very well see that person immediately following the visit with your doctor. Sometimes we do what's called a warm handoff, where you may come in to see Dr. Heinemann and he's treating your strep throat, but in the course of that visit, he asks you some probing questions about what's happening at home or how your mood has been or whether you're struggling at all with any emotional issues. And Dr. Heinemann may say, you know what, I'm going to step out and have my colleague, Dr. Leichter, come in and visit with you. And there will actually be that moment in time when both the physician and the behavioral health professional will be in the room together with the patient. And in fact, the research would suggest that when the physician spends even just a moment or two doing that transition, literally that handoff to the behavioral health professional, that reduces the stigma that Dr. Heinemann was mentioning. When the physician puts their blessing on it and says, you know, I work with Dr. Leichter closely, he helps me manage patients who have problems with depression or stress or anxiety, and he's going to meet with you, and then he's going to circle back with me after you're done at the appointment today, and we're going to talk about what's best for you going forward collaboratively. So that's kind of what we strive to do sometimes. It may not need to be kind of an immediate handoff, but the patient may be told, You know, would you be willing to come back later this afternoon or tomorrow, back to the primary care clinic, back to the waiting room where everybody is sitting, whether they're there for a cold or for their diabetes or their depression? And so they reduce that sense of stigma and reduce that sense of kind of being siloed off into a separate area.
Dr. Heineman, this brings up a really important question about cost. I have one of those high deductible health plans, and you know, my provider's always telling me to understand what's happening and who I'm paying. And so how do patients, you know, when they come in, sort of navigate this and understand fully what you're being charged for at that point?
Well, some of those services are charged for, and some of them are part of the environment of the practice that we're in. You know, we also spend a lot of time working on chronic illnesses, people living with chronic illness like diabetes.
Right.
We know that probably a third or better of patients living with diabetes have depression, okay? And if they're managing their depression with a substance, that adds another layer of cost. So if they have diabetes and depression, it's probably three times the cost. And if they have diabetes, depression, and they're using a substance to manage their depression, like alcohol or other controlled substances, it can be 7 to 11. So in order for a clinician to be effective in the management of the chronic disease that an individual is living with, we may have to first tackle the depression,
right,
so that we can get at the underlying inability to engage in the care. And so, you know, and so there are some of these services that are charged for. Some of these services are things that we provide as part of the practice. Now, we also know that in the future, we're going to be moving from a, for lack of a better describer, per click or per encounter payment system to one that relies less on that per encounter payment, to one that's more global about the quality and the outcomes. And we know that if we want good outcomes in, say, diabetes or some of these processes, problems where people are living with chronic illnesses, we've got to address these because we're also going to be paid on our quality. So we're in that transition time right now where we're moving from volume to value, testing out all of these. We know that patient experience, which is another key to whether or not we're successful going forward, that patients feel that, wow, they listened to me, they were engaged with what I was doing, and they really are addressing my problem. Because too many times people will come in and out of the clinic, and Jeff can tell you story after story where we didn't really get at the issue that they came for. And we just put, it's like putting paint over bad wood.
Yeah.
If you don't get at the wood and treat it, we're not going to get anywhere. Yeah. So,
Jeff, is there a success story that we can close with, something where you can really give me an example of when this is working really well, what's possible?
Yeah, actually, one does come to mind, Lori. This was actually not too long ago, but one of our family physicians here at the Sanford Clinic in Detroit Lakes had asked me to step in to see a patient that he had been seeing for a number of years. It was a young woman who had type 1 diabetes, and she had been dealing with diabetes since she was a child, and she was now in her mid-20s. And she had had just a significant difficulty in controlling her blood sugars and being adherent to the diabetic plan that our physician had laid out for her. And she came in feeling very emotionally distraught one day, and I happened to be available, and I stepped in. And this was an excellent physician, and he had known this woman since she was a child, and had asked me to visit with her about, you know, what might be getting in the way of her ability to take care of her disease. And what came out in a relatively short time through, you know, our assessment and some of our screening tools was, this was a young lady who had suffered some sexual trauma as a child that had never been talked about, and she was currently involved in a very violent relationship with her partner at home. which, you know, to use Dr. Heinemann's metaphor, is that trying to get this person to pay attention to their diet when they were dealing with both past and current trauma was just simply not going to happen. And unfortunately, what can happen is that physicians and other healthcare providers make attributions that the patient is non-compliant, when really they're dealing with struggles that are so basic that until we take care of those, they can't really be good partners in their healthcare. And so we've visited with this patient 5 or 6 times, got her into a healthier situation, and have begun talking about the trauma. And in fact, the physician came to me not more than about a week or two ago and said, "Jeff, this is the best this patient has ever looked." And those sort of things happen all the time, really, because we're getting at the base of the iceberg and not really just dealing with the tip of it anymore.
Dr. Heinemann, let's close with how far-flung is this now? How many Sanford clinics actually have this, have somebody with behavioral health embedded in the primary care facility?
Well, it is going to become the preferred method or preferred team that we put
sure.
together. Now, some of our really small rural clinics may not have somebody available every day, all the time. Some of them may have some of that available via telemedicine, video conferencing, et cetera. So we're exploring lots of options. But we recognize through the work that we did in the original grant and some work that we are continuing to do that this model has tremendous value. And is, I'll be honest with you, I believe it's almost an absolute requirement for us moving forward in managing patients with living with chronic illnesses. So it is going to become the way we prefer to provide. And our challenge is trying to find ways to bring those services to even the smallest rural communities, because our small rural communities are not immune to the example that Jeff just gave you.
Right.
And so it is important and an imperative that we have that we provide this service in all of our locations and communities.
Dan Heinemann is Vice President and Medical Officer for Sanford Health Network, and Jeffrey Leichter is a psychologist with Sanford Behavioral Health in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time.
Thank you
for
letting us tell our story.
Appreciate it.